Okay, so I guess this is going to be our first episode. We're going to do the first episode on The Dip by Seth Godin. And my first thought when I was looking at books in the order that I was going to do them was, wow, am I really going to start with a marketing book? That's just going to set me up. People are going to see it. They're going to think this is one of those shows that covers all the hustle culture books. But the more I started thinking about it, you know, like I said in the previous episode, I read all different kinds of books. So no matter what book I start with, I'm going to be setting some sort of impression out there. So people are going to look at this and go, oh, that's what it's about. All I can do to battle that is not pick a better book for the first choice, whatever better book means. I can just keep making episodes. Also, it's funny that the first book I choose is a book that I don't remember most of. It's a book I scouted. I listened to this as an audiobook. It's a short book. I really don't remember much from it because I probably didn't need to read this book. I didn't need to read it to get what I needed from it, which is a weird thing to say, but sometimes all you need from a book is one good idea. Sometimes that's all you need from a book. If you get out of a book, you come out with one good, useful idea, that's awesome. That's a good book. It achieves something. And sometimes that one idea that you need is in the description of the book. And in this case, the description of what this book was about was the idea that I needed. That's what I needed. See, this is the thing about audiobooks. When you listen to an audiobook, at least when I listen to an audiobook, I'm walking around, I'm doing things, I'm usually walking the dog, and I'm experiencing it passively, just like I would a podcast. And I hear an idea. All I'm doing at this point is I'm just listening for an idea, just listening for ideas. What's interesting? And then if I'm lucky, sometimes I'll hear something and my mind will just spin off. It'll just run with that idea. And all of a sudden, I'm no longer hearing this audiobook. I'm thinking about this idea. And then at some point, I probably snap back and hear some other things, you know, depending on the length of the book, which is why sometimes you read shorter books, you don't remember much of them when you listen to them as audiobooks, I should say, not read them. Because maybe you spaced out for the entirety of the rest of the book. This is a very short book. Have I said that enough times? This is a short book. Seth Godin always writes short books. He writes them like he writes blog posts. That's his thing. Scouting a book, which is what I call listening to the audiobook, the way that I just described. Scouting is about experiencing a book for the first time. It's not about trying to retain everything in the audiobook. I'm not trying to memorize the audiobook. I'm not trying to take notes on the audiobook. I'm just experiencing the book. So that if one day I decide to actually sit down and read it, you know, using my eyeballs, and I try to actually retain things from it, I'm not going to get caught up in where's it going next. I already know that. I can focus. I can pay attention. Ooh, that's something that's rare now, paying attention, being able to pay attention. Do we even have attention spans anymore? People ask this question all the time, yet Joe Rogan does just fine with three-hour episodes. I don't think we have an attention span problem. We have a willpower problem. Do I have the willpower to sit down and pay attention to one thing instead of 50 things at the same time? I use the word there, experience, very purposefully. When you're getting the feeling of a book for the first time, you are experiencing it. You're not really reading it. You're just experiencing what the book is like, what it's about. And so what you come out of with that, what your experience with that book is, that first time, is often less about the work of the author and more about who you are in that moment. What I'm saying about this book is not a judgment of Seth Godin. It's not even a judgment of this book. It's a judgment of who I was when I listened to this book. Now, there are such things as bad books. We know that. But most of the time when people don't like a book, it's because who they are in the moment is not the person that needed that book. The one idea that I needed from this book, from Seth Godin, was in the description of the book. that is all coming from what I needed. And what I needed comes from who I was at that moment. It's not based on anything else. It's not based on the book. It's not based on the quality of the book. It's based on who I was. And that's the value of rereading. Why we say it's important to go back and read things, because who you are changes. What I needed from this book was the main idea. I didn't need the rest of the book, which was an exemplification of the idea, a lot of marketing talk and stuff like that. I didn't need that. But at a later point, I might need that. And then I can go back to the book and it's there. And I'm the person who needs it then. So what is the main idea of the book? The one that was the idea I needed that came from the description. It's kind of important to maybe say that probably. Yeah, that's a good idea there, Curly. Let's actually talk about the book. The dip. The idea is the dip. When you start a project, most people start off guns blazing. And then sometime later, after they start, it gets hard. And what I mean by it gets hard is work shows up. You actually have to start doing work. The idea sounds cool because you haven't done the work yet. You haven't had to do the work yet. Sounds cool to have a newsletter until you have to write the newsletter every week. Sounds cool to have a podcast until you have to edit the damn thing. It sounds cool to talk about books until you actually have to talk about books and figure out what you think about books and, oh my God, what do I remember from that? What am I going to say? And what happens when work shows up is enthusiasm dwindles. So now what you were running off of when you started, what we're all running off of when we start, is excitement, enthusiasm. You're jazzed about the idea. You're lit up. That goes away. You know, it's kind of like the difference between infatuation in a relationship and then the actual relationship. Things get more realistic when the infatuation fades and you actually have to deal with who each other is as a person. You're not dealing with an idealized idea or feeling. Same thing with the project. That is the dip. That's the idea. That's the idea I needed. In particular, it was very appropriate considering that I was starting this podcast. So I guess in a way, this book is a good book to start with because I've already experienced the dip. But I do think the dip is more than just about work and enthusiasm. I think there's more things that cause a dip. For example, going back to this podcast, where was my dip? How could I already have a dip? All I did was record an introduction episode and now I'm doing the first episode. How can that be a dip already? Come on, dude. You couldn't have done that much work. There's not enough work for you to lose your enthusiasm yet. Exactly. And that's not where my dip came from. My dip here came from allowing the idea of what this podcast is, or what I thought this podcast is or is going to be, to frighten me, to terrify me. I think I mentioned in the episode before that this podcast technically existed before. It existed just several months ago when I did maybe 2 episodes and I quit. And many moons ago, I think it was 4 years ago, I had a book podcast. And I think I did maybe 10 episodes and then I quit. And every time I quit, it was for the same reason. Part of it is what I mentioned in the introduction episode, that I was trying to rush through books so that I could do a new episode. That was part of it. But the other part of it was getting frightened by the idea of a book podcast. And what is this image that I have in my head that I'm talking about? What is this image that frightened me twice? When I think of book podcast, maybe not other people's book podcast, but when I think of the idea of me doing a book podcast, suddenly I start to think, oh, I have to be deep and I have to be profound. I'm reading books. Books is about education. Don't want to sound like a dumbass. That's basically it, right? Don't want to sound like a dumbass when talking about books because that would be embarrassing. That's the basic fear. And yeah, I don't know if what I'm saying is I feel like I need to sound educated and erudite, but I just need to not sound like a dumbass, which leads to, am I prepared enough for this next episode? Do I have enough notes? Have I written? And then these things that I'm like, oh, these should be short episodes about the audiobooks and it should be totally casual. and I end up with these freaking pages of notes, and I'm listening to an audiobook, and I'm not experiencing the audiobook anymore like I was casually. Now I'm walking around taking notes. So I got to remember everything from this book, and I'm doing everything against the way that I want to do things, the way that worked for me. And it scares the living crap out of me. And the thing about it is that image of being deep and profound, it's at odds with my purposes for the podcast. What I want people to get from a book podcast is I want them to learn to enjoy books. I feel like so few people read on a consistent basis, and they're missing out on so much because books are freaking awesome. Books are like the most important thing for me in my life. Books are amazing. And I want people to feel that. And I want people to be curious about books. And I want people to go read books. But deep and profound or go read books, why are those at odds? Because in order to get people excited about books, I have to be accessible. Because I'm not doing a book podcast for people who already love books. I'm doing it for everyone, people who love books and people who don't yet. And that requires being accessible, which means being real and not being worried about deep and profound. And the big problem with those words, deep and profound, is how do I look? That's really what it's about, right? What is the fear? The fear isn't that you're not capable of deep and profound. The fear is that you're going to look like a dumbass. How do I look? Ego. And go deeper. Ego, insecurity. Don't want to look like a dumbass. That's insecurity. Those are the things that are at odds. Because a project, a podcast, it can't be both. It can't be about your ego and about the purpose. Can't. They're at odds. Unless the purpose is your ego, they're at odds. So you have to pick one. And that, too, is a dip. Conflicting purposes is a dip. You have to be able to see the reality of what something is and pivot towards it. Companies do this all the time. Pivoting companies. Instagram is one of the big examples. They started out as like a check-in app. And they realized, hey, people seem to like the photo part of this better. So they became a photo app. There's a difference between what they intended something to be and what is working. Two choices. That's what you're faced with. Two choices. Strangle the idea. Say, no, I don't care if people are using this for photos. It's going to be a check-in app. Or you pivot. You go, people want a photo app. Let's do a photo app. Two choices. But there isn't a third choice there. There is no third choice. There is no do both. There is never the choice to do both. But in order to do that, in order to pivot successfully, it requires one skill. Seeing things for what they really are. Seeing reality. Because maybe in some cases, what you intended something to be is better than what's working. Maybe you have to play the long game. But you have to be able to see reality. That's why I love using the metaphor of rough drafts in writing. Because if you have an idea for a book, it lives in your head. And in your head, everything's perfect, right? Because you can just gloss over the flaws. You can change something. It's like a blob. This idea is like a blob. It changes and becomes whatever you need it to be in the moment. You know, today it's an epic mystery. But tomorrow, you know, maybe it's sci-fi. Maybe it's sci-fi. And it can just keep changing and doing that. But the moment you sit down to write it, to put it on paper, put it on the screen, all of a sudden you're confronted with something really uncomfortable. Limitations. Flaws. All of a sudden you see, this thing can't be the thing that's in my head because the thing that's in my head is impossible. And you also see your own limitations. I'm not really a science fiction writer, so I don't know if I can do that. You have to confront that. And in order to be able to write something, you have to get it out. And the reason you have to get out and get that ugly first draft is because the ugly first draft is the reality that you need to see. It doesn't mean that's what you're stuck with, but it means that now that you see it, that it's become tangible, Now you can tweak it. Now you can play with it. Now you can edit it. Editing is writing. Rough draft is just idea. Editing is writing. That's making something work. And the way you make it work is seeing what it is and messing around with it. So that was my dip right before this episode. Reality. What is the reality of what I want this to be? And the reality is, in order to achieve what I want to achieve, I have to do one thing. I have to be willing to be the fool. Doesn't mean act like a fool on purpose. It means be willing to be foolish or look foolish. And I'm getting this from the TED Talk that Ethan Hawke did. And he got that from a television appearance and a story about Allen Ginsberg. The idea is, it's not about foolish, but the idea is being willing to be the fool. Be willing to surrender your ego to the purpose. Surrender, in my case, surrender your ego to the purpose of telling people about books. And you know what's funny is, as I'm talking about this, I have a notebook sitting down below my monitor that is a journal. It's a journal from earlier this year, and it's been sitting there for a couple weeks. And what I like to do with them is when I see stickers out in the world, I grab stickers and I throw them on there. Just random stickers. Like I have a Darkwing Duck sticker. I have Morty from Rick and Morty. I have a Sasquatch. And in the bottom, I have a tarot card sticker. And guess what tarot card sticker it is? The Fool. Gotta love that. You gotta love those little synchronicities, those little synchronous moments. I tried to say both of those words at the same time. Synchronous and synchronicity. The thing about the dip too, that I've learned at least, there will be more. I don't think there is just the dip. There are the dips. Dips will come. The dips will come again with this podcast, I'm sure. And I think that's because we struggle with reality. The dips that I experience again in the future, a lot of them might be the same one. I might be dealing with that again. I might have to continually remind myself of that, which maybe I could just listen to this episode. Remind myself of that. But there will be a point where the work will get harder too. And that will be a dip as well. And dips are part of it. It's just part of the thing, I guess. It's just the way things work. I didn't need to read the whole book to know that. I'm sure there's extraordinary things in there, but like I said, don't remember. If you're interested in the book and you're interested in actually hearing what Seth Godin has to say about it, as with every episode that I talk about a book, I will put a link in the description so that you can go and buy it. Imagine that. All right. Before we get out of here, I want to tell you two things. I have a new Substack. Nothing happening in my old one. This is an additional Substack. This is a Substack. It's called The Thing That Devours Everything. This is a project that I've been working on for almost 15 years. It is something that I thought was going to be a novel. Let's go back to the theme of this episode and the idea of seeing something for what it was. I was trying for 15 years to make this thing into a novel, but that's not what it was. That wasn't the reality of it. The reality is it's something more complicated and it can't be done in a novel. So I'm doing it with Substack. It's going to be something that's ongoing. In a way, you can look at it instead of an ongoing story, which is not what it is. It's more like a comic strip. You know, the characters and they're in different situations, but there's not one story arc. It's more like that to some degree. It's hard to explain. It's, if you know what the word deconstructionist means, that fits here. I'm basically deconstructing what it means to do a story and to do a novel. So if you're interested in that, please go over to thingthatdevours.substack.com. No the at the beginning, just thingthatdevours.substack.com. Link in the description as well. And of course, before we get out of here, this podcast should now be on all the major platforms. So if you want to subscribe somewhere other than Substack, it should be everywhere. But I will say you might not want to do that. That's because it's only going to be part of the picture. These shorter episodes, these where I'm talking about the books I've scouted in audiobook, these will be the free episodes. This is going to be the majority of the episodes are going to be like this. But when I get to the deep dive episodes where I take a book that I'm actually reading and not listening to and I actually break down the ideas in it and go for as long as I need to. I mean, these episodes I'm expecting to be probably hours long. Those are going to be behind a paywall on creativeisolation.substack.com. As well, I've decided that when I talk about books that can be construed as controversial, not necessarily that what I'm going to say is controversial, but that people want to say something about that book. I'm going to put those behind the paywall too, just because I don't need randoms popping in. I only want people that are committed to the podcast and hearing what is actually said about it instead of just reacting randomly. So those will be behind paywall as well. So if you want the full picture, creativeisolation.substack.com, go there, become a paying subscriber. And whether you're free or paying subscriber, you'll also get my newsletter, which I have a lot of fun doing. I just did one yesterday that was about kind of some of the stuff we talked about today, the idea of how I was letting, it's pretty much exactly the same thing. I was talking about the idea of how I let form, the idea of the form of something get in the way of me writing a newsletter for almost a week. And I think that's called Loyalty to Form Brands Me on the Arm Like a Sex Cult. I think that's what that one's called. So that's over at creativeisolation.substack.com. And once again, the other one is thingthatdevours.substack.com. Subscribe to both. Talk to y'all soon. Goodbye.